Well, good morning. This is the third vision statement of the year, our vision meeting of the year. And in that consideration, these are just unstructured messages, not ones that we considered a topic for in advance, but rather which we were letting the Lord direct us to have the consideration of where he was leading us, and where is he leading the assembly right now. So today I'd like to consider what is our service. What is our service? Let's pray and ask the Lord to move and to work. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with the potential of having our minds distracted and beset with entanglements of this world, with considerations of our own carnal abilities, of our own strength and might and control and desire to do what we would do. And Lord, I just want to take a minute and confess that, because each of those concepts, each of those thoughts is sinful and is below what is best. And Lord, so I pray that you would cleanse us as your word promises you will, from anything that we would hold that would be incorrect in our thoughts and beliefs about what we are to be and what we are to do, even the concept that we are the center of anything. Oh Lord, that we would allow ourselves to be led by you, that we would focus on you, that we would see you and the Lord Jesus, and allow him to live through us and in us and grow up into him in all things. Father, I pray that you would give light this morning, that you would give strength, that you would give focus, that you would bring us to understand the facet of truth that is for our hearts this morning, and that we would be able to focus on you. Father, if there is any sin in our midst, I pray that you would bring it to light. You would quickly enable us to think rightly about it with you and to confess it, so that we may focus and see your Holy Spirit move and not allow him to be grieved or quenched. Father, we want the presence of the Lord Jesus this morning. That's what we came here for. That's what we understand that you promised would be for us if we gather in his name. And so, Lord, we proclaim this gathering to be in his name, and we desire for the fulfillment of that promise to be evident and true in our midst, to know that he is here, that he is moving, that he is speaking, and that we have interacted with him. Lord, what a privilege, what an amazing opportunity. Capture our thoughts this morning and let us see him and let us know him. There is no greater hope than knowing you, Jesus. You're my all. You're my best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Father, may that be the echo of our heart, and may we see more of him today, tomorrow, and as we go from here and as we grow in him. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. What is our service? Just a reminder, while it's not necessarily has to be this way, but the core vision statement of the assembly is that we seek for Christ to live in us together and to grow into him in all things, from Galatians 2 and Ephesians 4. As we consider the vision for the assembly, our vision is trained on Christ. Hebrews 12, looking unto him as the author and finisher of our faith. Striving toward him, running toward him, growing into him, having him live in us, abiding in him. These are the things that we want. We want more of Christ. And I pray that that is the echo of everyone's heart here. In this consideration, as we seek for Christ to live in us and to grow up into him in all things, I wanted to consider this statement from Mark 10. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And this morning, I'd like us to consider whether we serve as Christ served, whether we have emulated and followed and aligned ourselves with him in the reality of serving, in the reality of acting and doing on behalf of another. A quote that was mentioned as we talked about moving to Moncure was, "Watch to see where God is working and join him." This comes from Blackaby and King, who wrote Experiencing God. Perhaps that might be one of our next book studies. It's a very good, it's a pretty old book, at least from my perspective, not in the perspective of book writing, but in perspective of my lifetime. But it's a good book that really points us again toward God and knowing him. But this is a really poignant and potent quote: "Watch to see where God is working and join him." And so as we moved to Moncure, the idea was that we as a church shouldn't feel as though we necessarily are tied to the physical location anywhere at the moment, that there's nothing that would prevent us from following him to a different location, following him to Moncure as it is right now, out of Apex, as long as we're following him. We obviously are attempting to be local to where everyone is, but we want most of all to work alongside God. God is working in this world. He's doing things. And so what are we doing alongside him? So this thought is supported from John 5, where Jesus worked where the Father was working. John 5, 17, Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." The truth of Jesus' life here on earth, and it is one of those confusing aspects of the reality of God, the truth of God, that are beyond our ability to understand, is that Jesus only did what God was doing on earth. And Jesus would look to God and seek God to follow him and to have direction for what he should do. And that seems really confusing to me, because I know that Jesus is God and that Jesus' nature is the same as God's and Jesus' desires are the same as God's. So why would Jesus not just do what he wants to do and thereby satisfy what God wants to do? Instead, there's very clearly this delineation, this pointing of Jesus abiding in God and God abiding in him, of Jesus following God and listening to him, and Jesus working alongside where God is working. And I think the reason for that, or one of the reasons for that, is to demonstrate a pattern for us. Because we also have the Spirit of the Lord in us. So why don't we just do what we want to do, and therefore we'll fulfill what God wants us to? Well, because we don't perfectly have the Holy Spirit in us. We don't perfectly listen to the Holy Spirit, and we still have the possibility of exerting our own will and our own natures above God's. And so we have to very carefully and cautiously seek to believe what God has said and what God is telling us to do and to follow him. And so we look to the Lord Jesus, as our vision statement says, to abide in him, to remain in him, to stay in him, and to make sure that what he is doing we also align with and we also do. So I've kept our vision statement down here and added some of the sub-points as I think they apply. I think next week, we don't actually have a speaker for next week, so Anil and Jonathan and I will be discussing this week about what we'll do, but we may go back to our vision statement, revisit it, may have more of an open-style communication next week. And so we'll be talking about the vision statement again. We'll be talking about where we are and asking ourselves questions and discussing amongst ourselves what we should be doing. But just as a reminder, these are some of the things we pointed out. Abiding in Christ, remaining in Him, focusing on Him, looking to see what He is doing, believing that He is working, and expecting that He is working in a way that we can come alongside and we can work in the same way. Now, I don't think that any of this is revelation, but more of a reiteration. Going back to the context of Jesus came to serve, and so should we, Jesus was disappointed in the disciples at one point who were all trying to be second in command. They were all trying to say, who's the greatest? Who is the best disciple? And so the Lord Jesus was resetting them. And he said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Is not this way among you? Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So we have the example of Jesus coming to serve. We also have in here a commandment that if we want to be first, I guess it's not a commandment because it's a conditional, but a promise that if you want to be first, you make yourself slave of all and you serve. You put yourself under and you desire to do the things that assist another. So we align ourselves with Christ is another sub-component. Jesus came to serve, so should we. In the same kind of concept, looking at Matthew 11:25, Jesus is praying at first. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In verse 28, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the context of this verse is very much a discussion of a discussion of relief from burden, a relief from heavy work. But in so doing that, the Lord Jesus says, put a yoke on your shoulders. And so we need to, I'm always taken by this imagery, and it sticks with me, that I want to be one of the oxen pulling a cart with the Lord Jesus being the one who's beside me. This is how your burden gets lightened. You constrain yourself to the direction that Jesus is going, to where he is pushing, to where he is pulling, and you put yourself next to him. And you share that burden, but you find that the burden is easy. That he's the one doing the pulling, that mostly you're just aligned. Mostly you're just stuck going the same direction as him while he does the work and he moves. But there's still a work here. There's still an action. There's still a walking alongside, a finding where the Lord Jesus is and doing something. You will find rest for your souls in a yoke. It really is like this paradox of a thought. Like if I picture rest, I'm going to use an animal. I'm going to picture like a lamb sleeping on a green pasture, right? Go to Psalm 23 and find rest. But Jesus uses the picture of an ox strapped to a plow or a cart. And that doesn't look like rest. But Jesus says, you're thinking about rest wrong. If you want to know rest, pull alongside me. So, Christ commands, Christ offers a place to work beside him. He commands that we love one another. John 15, it says, this is my commandment that you love one another. This I command you that you love one another, he reiterates in verse 17. In the middle, he talks about his love. He talks about how he has brought us up from a position of slavery to him to calling us friends, and how he chose us. And he says, greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And so our service is a love service, right? We are loving one another. We are serving. We are working. We are doing. And he commands it. And so one of the subtenets of our vision message is to obey Christ's commands. This is the culmination of Christ's command to us. If there's really just one command in all of the New Testament, it's love one another as I have loved you. And so looking at the extent of that in Ephesians 5 and even back in John 15 where we were, it says, be imitators of God as beloved children, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. So, the command is that we love one another as Christ loved us. And I'd like to just take a moment and remind ourselves of how Christ loved us. What did he hold back? What did he keep for himself when he loved us? In his service for the world, what did he say, that's too far, I'm not going to do that service. I won't stoop that low. There was no limit. There was no bound. He gave everything. He gave all in order to demonstrate love. And then he says, love one another as I have loved you. Walk in love, it says in Ephesians 5, as Jesus Christ loved you. And so as I read these verses, I'm convicted. How's my love? What is my love service like? Am I serving the way that the Lord Jesus did? Am I loving the way that the Lord Jesus did? Am I giving myself up for others and offering a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma? Have I satisfied the command? If I've stopped and I said, well, I love them. I'll invite them over to my house once every 3 weeks. I'll do this kind thing for them. I'll help them when they have a project. I want them to let me know if anything's going wrong in their life. I'm going to pray for them. Or is there more? Is there more that I can do to serve? And there is. There always is. But the reality is that I need to go back to that vision of the yoke and understand that I need to find rest by serving more. And I think the Lord Jesus is kind of flipping me on my head and say, you feel too busy, you feel too burdened, you feel too heavy. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to serve and you need to love more. You need to give more of yourself. You need to yoke yourself to me and find my burden easy and find my rest for your souls in the yoke that I would put on your shoulders and pull alongside you. How many times is my attempt to do, to serve, to orchestrate, to control, to teach, too rooted in myself and no longer looking at the Lord Jesus? So, all of those verses was to point us to a consideration of self-reflection. Right now, if I was to ask you, what's your ministry? Are you ready to give the answer? Are you ready to say, here's what the Lord is doing and how I'm following alongside him? Do we have that in mind? What service has he called you to? What ministry has he called you to? And I don't want to like point fingers or ask for answers or anything like that, but I want us all to think, what is the ministry that Jesus is performing that we are aligning with as a body, or that you are aligning with individually? And as a vision message, I feel that we as a body have kind of lost sight of doing together. Last week was a message on fellowship, right? It was last week? 2 weeks ago. I missed it. But I expect that fellowship talks a lot about working together on something. When I was young, Gerald Stiles, who ran Aletheia Springs, would say fellowship is a bunch of fellows in the same ship. That was his definition, or his mnemonic device to remember what fellowship meant. And so you're all sitting at the oars, rowing the same way, in the same cadence, making sure that you're aligned together, that you're invested in each other, that you're pushing the same direction. What are we doing? What is the vision? What is the ministry of the church that still is presently known as Western Wake? What is our ministry, and how are we being the hands and feet of the Lord? I struggle a little to answer that question at the moment. And so I think that the Lord would have us ask the question, would have us be creative, would have us get together and pursue something. I don't know what the answer is at the moment. But to work together toward a ministry, toward doing something together. Similarly, I also want to make sure that we individually have ministries. We are working amongst ourselves and in our communities to show what the Lord Jesus is doing, to align ourselves with what the Lord Jesus is doing, to ask him, Jesus, what are you doing in Haley Meadows community? How do I follow you? How do I interact with this neighbor who's being way too persnickety about boundary lines and driveways? Sorry, a little too personal there. How do I demonstrate the love of Christ? How do I be your hands in this situation? Or am I still very self-focused? Am I still very carnal in my mind and say, I don't have time, I don't have opportunity, I have too many struggles or troubles of my own? And I think, you know, we need to understand, we need to make sure that the pursuits that we're following are the ones that the Lord Jesus is doing, and we're aligned to him. And then once we have that ministry in mind, what is the extent of our love service? Are we loving as he loved and gave himself up for us? Are we serving to the extent of giving our life for our friend? Greater love has no man than this, than he give his life for a friend. And the Lord Jesus said, I love you this much. This is how I love. Am I willing to give my life for you guys? It's a tough question to ask yourself. It's a tougher question to demonstrate. And what would the Lord have us do in those things? The last bullet point is applying Christ in community. So here are some things that I think as a church, as individuals, a vision for what the Lord would be leading us to. We need to pray to see where the Lord is working in our communities. Ask, what are you doing? Where are you walking? And don't stop until we have an answer. Lord, what would you have us align with? And then that's kind of the second question. What are the opportunities and creativity for service? Consider one another to spur each other up to love and good works, it says in Hebrews 10. We should be creatively thinking about what we can include others in to encourage them to serve and to serve one another. We need to pray that the Lord would prioritize and provide time for service. To pray with an outward focus that says, Lord, I can't find the time. I don't think I can find the time. Or more accurately, Lord, I have held on to my time and held it for myself in these ways, and I'm unwilling to let it go. Please refocus me, reprioritize my life, so that the time is available for what you would have me to do, because I know you can create the time and give the power and give the energy to accomplish what you want to do, and I want to follow you. We should be encouraging and inviting others to serve with us. I'm going to go and do this. Come with me. Let's do it together. Let's start making the joints supply. that's what it says in Ephesians 4. The joining of the members supplies a greater ability to follow and to serve. Let's do that. And then we need to be better about bringing praises back. Jonathan's really good about this, telling us about the times that he's witnessed, the times that he's shared, the things that he's been able to do. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep coming back with accounts of how the service is going. My family, Caitlin's mom, my mom, my sister, we're all watching the kids while we went on a trip this week. And it's hard for us to see, but we are grateful to the Lord for how he is moving in our children. One of our ministries right now is obviously our children. And because we had this stamp in time in which my sister hadn't spent time with some of the kids for a while, 3 months passed, she looks at them again and she says, "The Lord is working." So thank you for praying for my family. It's hard for us to see. Shiloh's hitting Caitlin right now. It's hard for us to see in the day-to-day, and we get overwhelmed. But the Lord is working in these ministries and in these opportunities. Praise him for the goodness of what he's done. He's so good to us. Continue to pray for us. But yeah, bring praises and celebrate with one another from the service that he's encouraging us to do. The last thought that I wanted to bring to mind is one of, in the beginning of Jesus' talk to the disciples right before his crucifixion, one of the things he says is, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." I jumped in at verse 11. "Otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Jesus said that the one who believes in the Lord Jesus will do greater works than Jesus did on the earth. I'm just blown away by this promise, by this consideration. Similarly, at the end of Ephesians 1, God calls us the fullness of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is what the church is intended to be. We have the great privilege of doing great works through the power of the Holy Spirit, the great God who works through us. May we not sit and rest, but may we continue to seek to serve so that we could fulfill these greater works. I don't want to be satisfied. I don't want to be satisfied with being a church that encourages, that uplifts, that suits itself really well and is comfortable with and among itself. But rather, I want to see the service of the Lord move through us and the great works that he has called us to do. And so that I believe is what the Lord is teaching us and would have us to follow next. I bring these things to you because the Lord is bringing them to me. And I pray that you would pray alongside me that I would do these things. We were so mightily opposed this morning from making it to church. And I just pray that that the Lord would work and move. I know that there are so many struggles in our midst right now, so many things that are deterrents and hardships and difficulties. And I know that the devil is active in trying to keep us down. And so pray for one another. Pray that the Lord would protect us, that we would put on his armor and stand, and that we would move and join ourselves to his plow, to his yoke, and align ourselves with him. Just going to open the floor. Any thoughts, questions, considerations, additions that we should add today? All right. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, I bring these thoughts back to you. Lord, I pray that you would increase our desire and our focus to serve. And Lord, I pray that this message does not come as a condemnation on any person, on any group, on any one, but that, Lord, it would spur us, that we would see the truth that you have put into this message about ourselves, and that we would be encouraged to follow. And Lord, I pray that the service that we are doing would be more fully and more completely demonstrating the greatness of your love, and that it would be abundantly rewarded with your joy and your peace. I thank you for those that are giving of their time, of their efforts, of their money, of their of the possessions and the opportunities that you've given them, in a way that is sacrificial and is sharing with others and is the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I know there are many of those ways that I don't know, and I don't. I pray that that you would instill reminders in the hearts of those that are doing them, and encouragement to continue those services. Lord, to the extent that we are under satisfying the service that you've called us to, I pray that you would convict our hearts. I pray that you would help us as an assembly, as a church, to focus on what things we may do together and how we may align ourselves with the Lord Jesus and align ourselves with one another and share in the burden and the consideration of what is to be accomplished together, what you would have us to do. Lord, let us not be stagnant. Let us not be comfortable. Let us not be so compromised that we are ineffectual for your service. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the next step, and that we would take the next step in your power, but with a willing and an open heart, so that we can follow you more closely. Lord, help us to share in your work, in the yoke that you have offered to us, and may we find rest for our souls in being yoked to you. Fill us with your grace and overwhelm us with your mercy and your power and your love. It's in the precious name of Jesus, in whom and through whom we find all these things, that we pray. Amen.